I would like to suggest a thought in relationship to prophecy, in relationship to the death, burial, and resurrection. Is not a type. We can bring types, and there's plenty of types in the scripture to support that Christ died, buried, and raised on the third day. But there are prophecies that were from the Old Testament, because we are highlighting according to the scriptures in light of the Old Testament. And it's very important, because how are these saints being convinced according to the scriptures? I like the verse you presented, because it sets before us the principle that God raises things on the third day. That's why in creation, the third day was raising the earth from amongst the water. So he raises things. The verse says that in 2 days he shall revive us, and on the third day he shall raise us up. So God acts on the principle of raising things on the third day. So where do we get verses that he died according to the scripture for our sins? Well, Isaiah 53 is not a type. It is a prophecy in relationship of the one who died for our own sins. And that's why a redeemed remnant company is speaking of how he bore our iniquity. But there is also a proof in the Old Testament that Christ was died, buried, and raised according to the scripture and not by way of a type. I'll give one verse. And dear brethren, I think at your own leisure, you should acquaint yourself not with the types only, but with the reality of what Paul is speaking about. Psalm 16, you quoted the verse. But I want to prove it in light of the scripture, why that psalm speaks about according to the scriptures of the actual death, actual burial, and actual resurrection. In Psalm 16, he goes into death. And you quoted the verse, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. That's in light of the burial. So where does the truth of the third day come? Well, we have to compare scripture with scripture. If you go to John chapter 11, they said unto the Lord, Lazarus had been in the grave how many days? 4 days. And what's the expression that the Jews used? He stinketh already. What do they mean by the word stinketh? It is not only the smell. It is also that he already saw corruption, that he is decaying. So the number 4 in the scripture in relation to the burial was the day where the body will enter into the corruption and the decaying aspect as far as God is concerned. So the Lord Jesus says, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. So it was of necessity that the Lord Jesus, being a proof from the Old Testament, that he has to be raised on the third day, because he will not see corruption.
If you don't mind, I just add this, not to be contradictory, but it doesn't say, it says as a matter of fact, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, but it doesn't say he was buried according to the scriptures. It says buried and rose according to the scriptures. And the only reason I'm putting that in there is simply to say that where death is concerned, there always has to be burial. So it is not necessarily simply according to scripture. It's according to the natural course of events, that if you die, you have to be buried. And that's one of the principles, I think, that we hold on to. Not so much the idea of cremation and things of that sort. But burial is the putting out of sight. The individual has to be put out of sight. Cannot exist any longer. And that's so much the central truth of he was buried. And then he rose according to the scriptures. Just a little caveat.
Isaiah 53, though, has a beautiful verse for this that is very distinct. And it says in verse 9, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Very distinct.
Yes.
So his grave was not where they were planning to put him. Probably either throw his body into a common grave with the other criminals or throw it in the hill of Gihon, which always burned with fire. But no, God specifically says exactly, and we know, we have that in scripture, Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, gave his own tomb. And so how wonderful. God said, thus far and no further to proud man.
Pastor, you have a comment.
Well, just in continuation of what Brother Dave was saying, I think the burial is very evident, and we see it all across the scripture, even in types as we probably later will discuss baptism a little bit. So maybe we will discuss it or maybe not. But the idea of death and burial is an evidence that death is a complete process. It's not something that it was a mistake and it would... Because I'm saying this because there's other people that says, well, they saw somebody that looked like him. When he appeared later on, it wasn't really him that was crucified and died. It was somebody else. So the scripture here emphasizes this in a very clear way. Christ had died, according to the scripture, was buried, and then was raised in the third day, according to the scripture. So I don't think we can pass by Hosea 6 without mentioning the Gospel of John chapter 2, where there, the Cana of Galilee, where the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. The number 3 is the number of resurrection, where there is very obvious from the scripture in Genesis chapter 22, we read that Abraham walked and on the third day he lifted up his eyes and saw the place. He was looking forward not to the slaying of Isaac, but he was looking forward to the God that is faithful and is able to raise Isaac from the dead. So that's why the third day, very significantly there, speaks of resurrection, where the Lord Jesus in the scripture was typified here by Isaac, and it was wonderful, with the one exception that Isaac was spared.
So I want us to move on now from, we have established the fact, I know we could spend another hour on that, there's much in there, and I think the whole idea now is we could go back and look deeper into the scripture. But now let's talk for a couple of minutes only, please, on the credibility of the witnessing that the apostle appealed to. He appealed to the scripture, but now he brings witnesses, credible witnesses. And maybe you could spend just a couple of minutes on that. Please, let's make our comments as short as possible.
Can I start then with Mark 15, 47. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was buried. It's a very good counter-argument to many in the world that say they were confused. It was a different man that died. They were at the wrong grave. It's right there.
You might say that in doing so, he is abiding with the scripture that every word should be established by the mouth of 2 or 3. That's why it was so important for Paul to bring these different aspects of witnesses so that he can establish the principle that is from the Old Testament, that it seems these saints have no problem in belief.
The Lord appeared after his resurrection 14 times. 11 of them is before his ascension, and 3 of them is the Lord in glory appeared to individuals. But it's eye-catching here that 1 Corinthians 15 starts with this wonderful expression, he appeared first to Cephas. This is amazing. Peter, I would expect the Lord to appear last to Peter. He's the one that denied. He's the one that cursed. He's the one that definitely, openly did something that is absolutely unacceptable. But this is the heart of the great shepherd, where he is individually going to those that had left and went. In the Gospel of John, we read about him taking 6 of the disciples back to fishing. And the Lord had put him in that wonderful commission. Oh, no, no. You were given this wonderful commission that you will be fishers of men. The Lord appears first to Cephas.